Shabbos daf samach beis. The Mishnah says that you can't go out with shirion, with kasta, or with magfayim. The Gemara explains shirion is a coat of mail. Rav says kasta is a leather helmet that they would wear under their metal helmet. Rav says magfayim are these iron leggings, meaning they were shin guards. The next Mishnah, Reb Meir says that a woman can't go out with a pierced needle or with a ring that has a signet or a brooch or a spice bundle or a flask of balsam oil. And if she went out with any of these things, you have to bring a karban chata. So we see from here, Reb Meir holds that these are a deoraisa level isurim, and that's you'd have to bring a karban chatas. The Chum say, no, you don't have to bring a karban chatas for the spice bundle or the flask of balsam oil, the Gemara. Ula says that the rules by a ring are actually the reverse for a man, that a signet ring is going to be an iser derabanan, and if it doesn't have a signet, that's going to be an iser doraisa. So we see from here that anything which is fit to be an accessory for a woman is not fit to be an accessory for a man, and anything which is fit to be an accessory for a man is not fit to be an accessory for a woman. And the reason we see that is because, according to Ula, they reverse the halacha by a man and a woman. Rav Yosef challenges this from a braisa that says that shepherds can go out on Shabbos wearing sackcloth, and so too, the Bryson says anyone's allowed to do that. But the reason we said shepherds is just because that's the norm, that's the normal thing. So we see from here that men can wear, or people can wear, the normal clothes of a shepherd. So if that's true, why can a man not wear the normal things that a woman would wear? Why the discrepancy? So Rabbi Yosef says, it must be because Ula holds that women are completely different than men. So just because some men wear sackcloth as shepherds, and that allows for all men to wear sackcloth, just because a woman wears something doesn't mean that all men can wear it. Abaye questions this premises by the Braisa, which says, if you find tefillin on Shabbos in a place where you could carry, both men and women should put on the tefillin, wrap them on, and bring them to a better place. They're kind of in the middle of a forest or something. You should bring them out to a safer place. So if it's true that women are totally different, then we know tefillin are a mitzvah, ase shazman grama, a time-bound mitzvah, and women are completely exempt from it. So they should not be allowed to put on the tefillin because there's no mitzvah tied to it. And the only reason that they're allowed to put on the tefillin is because they're an accessory of men. And we see that women are allowed to wear something which is considered an accessory of men. So that's why the Gemara is going to say, no, that braisa is like Reb Meir, who holds that both at night and Shabbos, the mitzvah of tefillin applies. So it's not a mitzvah, ase shazman grama. It's not a time-bound mitzvah because the time for tefillin is always. And that's why women are chayav and do have to wear tefillin. So going back to what we had talked about before, that on a deoraisa level, women are not allowed to wear a signet ring. However, why do we say that? This is just transferring in an unusual manner. You're not usually going to transfer something by wearing it on your finger, so that should only be aser derabanan. Why deoraisa is it not allowed? Rabbi Yirmiya answers, it's because we're talking about the case of a woman who's an overseer, and for her, she's usually, you know, signet ting things. She has to stamp things with her signet ring. It's normal for her to wear a signet ring, so that's why it's not going to be transferring in an unusual manner. However, Rabbi says that answers the question by women, but what about a man who's wearing a ring without a signet? Why is that a deraisa? That should only be a derabanan. That's why Rava answers, we're going to say a different reason. Sometimes a husband will give his wife a signet ring to put away, and she's going to wear it as she's putting it away, and sometimes she's going to give her husband a ring without a signet to take it in to be fixed, and he's going to wear it that entire time. So we see that sometimes men and women do wear rings without signets or with signets, respectively. The Mishnah said that you can't go out with kolyar or with a spice bundle. Rav says the kolyar is a brooch. The spice bundle is a packet with pylon spices, which is for women that have bad odors. They can put on this spice bundle to cover up to mask the scent. Rav Asi says similarly, yeah, the spice bundle is a pendant with pylon spices. We have a braisa that Reb Meir says a woman can't go out with a spice bundle. If she does, she has to bring a karban chatas. The Chachamim say you are not allowed to, but a woman does not have to bring a karban chatas. And Reb Elazar says it's totally fine. So what's the argument? Rav Meir holds that the spice bundle is a burden, and that's why it's issa d'oraisa. The Chachamim hold that as an ornament, and it's only a derabanan iser, unless she comes to take it off and show it to her friends and carry it. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, even though it is an ornament, but it's totally fine because the only women who have an unpleasant odor are going to wear this, and they're not going to want to show it off to their friends, so we're not worried they're going to take it off. However, we have a braisa that Rabbi Eliezer says there's no karban chatas if you go out with a spice bundle or a flask of balsam oil. So we see from here when he says there's no chatas, that just implies that it's derabanan. But here Rabbi Eliezer said that it's totally fine. So what's the deal with Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara answer is that when we're contrasting Rabbi Eliezer's opinion with Reb Meir, when they're arguing, arguing. Rabbi Meir says that you have to bring a carbon chatas. So Rabbi Eliezer is just going to argue and say you don't have to bring a carbon chatas, which is that brisa. Well, the Chum say that it's a derabbanan in our brisa. Then Rabbi Eliezer is going to have to say no, it's totally mutter. So where do we see this brisa of Rabbi Meir saying that it is you have to bring a carbon chatas? And the brisa that Rabbi Meir says a woman who goes out with a key has to bring a carbon chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says no, you don't have to bring a carbon chatas for a spice bundle or a flask of oil. Now the Gemara is saying why? What's Rabbi Eliezer doing talking about a spice bundle or a flask of oil? So really, the brisa is missing words, and it means to say, Rabbi Meir says that if a woman goes out with a key, with a spice packet, or with a flask of balsam oil, she has to bring a carbon chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't have to bring a carbon chatas for a spice or a flask, but this is only true if the spice packet or the flask of oil have spice or oil in them. If they're totally empty, then you would have to bring a carbon chatas because that's just transferring a utensil. Rav Adbar Ava says, Rabbi Eliezer is teaching us that if you take out a utensil with less than the amount of food in it that you'd have to be chayav for, meaning the vessel has less food than the minimum amount to be chayav, that's going to be usser. Just like in the case of the spice bundle or the flask of oil, which have nothing in them, where there's still a lingering smell, Rabbi Eliezer says those are chayav. So too with the utensil which has just a little bit of food in it, then you're also going to be chayav, just like the flask or the bundle with a lingering smell. Rav Ashi says you can't compare it because by the case of the bundle or flask, the spice bundle, there's nothing at all in them. With the utensil, there is a little bit of food in them, so you can't compare those two cases. The Pasuk says they anoint themselves with the finest of oils. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that that's talking about balsam oil. Rabbi Yosef challenges this. We have a brisa there. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says that balsam oil is usher after the destruction. The Chachamim disagree with that. However, if this pasuk is talking about balsam oil, we could see that it's used for pleasure. And if that's true, why would they disagree? Or the Chachamim say that it's allowed after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed when we wanted to limit pleasure. So that's why Abai is going to come in and say, according to that opinion, when the rest of the pasuk says, if you drink out of, it says drinking out of bowls of wine, which Rav Ami or Rav Asi, one says that's talking about a tall glass vessel which has two spouts, and the other says that they would throw cups to each other in kind of like a juggling way. Now, if this pasuk is the continuation of the original pasuk, and if the whole pasuk is coming to make balsam oil usser, then this wine thing should also be usser. However, when Rabba Bar Rav Huna went to visit the Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa was drinking out of this wine cup, and Rav Abai Rav Huna didn't say anything, so we see that it's not usser. So rather, Abai is going to say everything which has both pleasure and joy is usser after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. However, if it's just for pleasure, like balsam oil, then it's not going to be usser after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The pasuk says they would lie upon beds of ivory stretched out on couches. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina said that they would urinate before their beds naked. Rabbi Abahu says because of just doing that, the rest of the pasuk says that they're going to go into exile at the head of the exile. That doesn't make sense. Rather, the pasuk is teaching that they would eat and drink with each other, and they would trade their wives and have relations with each other's wives. Rabbi Abahu says these three things bring upon you poverty: urinating before your bed naked, treating the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, washing your hands, very lightly, and being cursed by your wife. Rava explains these. If regarding peeing, urinating by your bed, this is only if you're facing your bed. However, if your back is to your bed or you're facing your bed but there's a vessel there, then it's fine. Rava says regarding the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, of washing your hands, this is only if you don't wash your hands at all. However, if you wash them, you just don't do it so well, then it's fine. However, the Gemara notes that's not true because Rav Chista said that he would wash his hands really well and he became rich. And regarding the case about being cursed by your wife, Rava says this is only if you're cursed by your wife because you could have afforded to buy her nice jewelry, but you didn't do it. Rava Bereda Rav Ilah says the pasuk of the daughters of Tzion were haughty. This means that they would walk with an erect posture. When it says they would walk with outstretched necks, that means they would walk slowly so people would gaze at them. The pasuk says with gazing eyes, they would fill their eyes with makeup and beckon to the men. They were floating as they walked, that a tall woman would stand next to a short woman to appear really tall. With feet they would spew venom. Rav Yitzchak says in the name of Rav Asi that they would put myrrh and balsam in their shoes. They would walk in the market and they would see these unmarried men, so they would stop on the ground so that the perfume would start spraying all over. And this drove the Yetzer Hara into this man that they saw, just like the venom of an angry snake. So what was their punishment? Rav Bar Ula says instead of fragrance, brings the pasuk of instead of fragrance decay, where they perfume themselves they would decay. Instead of a belt they would be bruising, where they put on a belt they would be bruising. bruised. Pasuk of instead of jewelry, they would have baldness. The place where they brushed their hair, where they adorned their hair, would become bald. Instead of a sash, it would have a belt of sackcloth. On their private parts would be a girding of sackcloth. And all these things befall you instead of beauty. Rava says, that's just like people say, in exchange for beauty comes sores. The pasuk says, Hashem will afflict, will sapach the heads of the daughters of Tzion with lesions. Rav Yossi Berabchanina says that this is talking about saras, they got saras because there's a connection between sapach here and sapachas, which is talking about saras. The pasuk says, Hashem will cause the openings to pour. Rav and Shmuel, one of them says it means that they would pour out like a pitcher, and the other says it means that they would become like a forest. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav that their Jerusalem men are no better. They're also very pretentious because they would ask each other, what did you eat today? Did you have well-kneaded or not well-kneaded bread? Did you drink Gordeli or Chardali wine? Did you recline on a wide or a narrow couch? Did you have a good or a bad companion? And Rav Chisda said these were all sexual references to illicit relations. They're all kind of euphemisms. Rav Yehuda said that they had logs, and the logs that were used in Yerushalayim for a fire came from a cinnamon tree. So when they burned them, the smell went through all of the land of Israel. And when the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim was destroyed, these logs of cinnamon were hidden, except for one piece that was the size of a barley grain, which was left in the storehouse of Queen Tsinsimea. Shkayach. Sorry, Queen Tsinsimea. Shkayach.